This is episode 494. Have you ever thought about reviewing your year on an annual basis? Well, if you have, fantastic, because we're going to do that right now. And if you haven't, maybe today is the first time that you can get a little bit of structure and a system that really helps you reflect on the year to assess how well did the year go. A lot of people go through life just, you know, meandering from here to there, from good experience to bad, and not really checking in with themselves. And then they end up realizing that they are living in a life of regret and misdirection that all went, well, not to plan, but they never really had a plan. So what we're going to do today is we're going to do an 80-point checklist. This is something I do every single year, and we're going to assess how the year went. So if you want to suss out how your year went and hear about how my year went, then stick around. Even as a scientist and nutritionist, I was secretly trapped in binge eating and hooked on sugar. And let's be real, the so-called solutions can feel overwhelming. Calorie counting, restrictive diets, weight loss pills, surgery, and even injections. I'm Matty Lansdowne, and the truth is, more nutrition facts aren't the answer. It's understanding why we eat the way we do. And you don't need to be perfect to achieve great health either. That shift changed everything for me, and now I share it here as the host of the Real Weight Loss Coach podcast, where it's my mission to help 1 million people break free from the yo-yo diet cycle for good by bringing you the conversations that really matter in nutrition, health, and psychology. And I'm not afraid to challenge mainstream health advice when it doesn't stack up. Are you ready? Let's begin. What's up, my healthy friends? Welcome back to another episode of the show, another year in review episode. You know, we've done, I've done this maybe 4 years in a row now at the end of every year. So thanks for being here. And it's good because it means that I've been able to really track that data as to how things have gone. And this year, let me tell you, has been one of the hardest, and my numbers will embarrassingly reflect this, as, you know, I try to be one of the influencers on the internet. I know that feels really obnoxious to say. It does for me anyway. I don't really like calling myself an influencer. But when you've got thousands of people listening, you know, you kind of fall into that category. But embarrassingly, my my results today are going to show you that I'm a very real influencer. This is part of the rebrand that I did this year, which was Real, you know, the Real Weight Loss Coach, is that I like to be totally honest and own stuff. Like, I'm one of you. I just have lots of people that listen to my stuff. You know, I'm not one of these people that have all this extra time, resources disproportionate to anyone else, and life is challenging, blah, 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 blah. You're gonna find that out with my score for this year. So basically, the way that we do this is essentially, I figured this out years ago through a combination of different teachings and learnings. And I know some people hate the number, but I like the number. So the number's 80. It's an 80-point checklist. And the reason for that is that there are 8 categories and we rate them out of 10. Each category of your life is out of 10. And I know that might feel like a random number, 80, but that's the number it is. And I put this together over the years through a number of different teachings. And I think Bob Proctor was in there, and I think John DeMartini was in there, and a few other people. And so I've sort of taken bits and pieces from other people's self-assessment tools. And but I've found that this is quite wholesome and covers everything, basically. I mean, we could do a million subcategories, obviously, but we're not going to do that. So what we're going to do is I want you to write these categories down. I want you to either open your phone, or I want you to get a pen and paper right now and write these 8 categories down. Number 1, fitness and movement. Number 2, food and nutrition. Number 3, stress management and download. 4, self-care, hobbies, baths, all that kind of stuff. 5, boundaries. 6, relationships. 7, financial. And 8, spiritual. All right, so they're the 8 categories. And I'm going to go through what each of them mean, my own score, and then a total score at the very end, which may or may not be significantly embarrassing for this year. All right, let's get into it, hey? So number 1 for me here, we've got fitness and movement. So this might be from walking every day or every couple of days to going to the gym every day to running marathons, you know, whatever fitness and movement looks like for you. And remember, this score is relative to how you did in the previous year, right? or your relative norm. And in theory, each year we should be changing that norm. You know, we should be getting more fit. We should be getting more well and healthy. We should be getting better at boundaries, right? So this year for fitness and movement, I have a whopping 3 out of 10. Oh my God, 3 out of 10. So what happened there? Well, we had a baby and I've never experienced sleep deprivation like I have this year. And I had multiple injuries, which I suspect has a lot to do with the sleep deprivation, because when you're sleep deprived, if you have as little as or as much as 6 hours sleep or less for one night only, your chance of injury the next day in sporting or physical activities goes up by 30%. And that's just one night. And so I had a bunch of injuries this year, neck and back injuries, and that apparently isn't uncommon from people that are walking around holding babies, hunched all day, that kind of thing. So yeah, fitness and movement was tricky. And I think this number is also a little bit related to some other challenges that happened this year, which I'll get into it a little bit further on in this podcast. So 3 out of 10. I mean, I'm mostly going to the gym 4 to 5 times a week again. But there was definitely a couple of periods where I didn't go and do anything except a short walk, which is what I could do. But yeah, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. I'm also about not bullshitting yourself. That's an important part of this as well. I think we're in this cushy, you know, your feelings are everything, you know, your feelings are the truth, blah, 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 weak as piss society. So if you need to hold yourself accountable, you should do that. Should you berate yourself to the point of submission and demoralization and shame? No, I don't think so. But sometimes a drop of shame can really kick you in the ass. But you know you, so make sure you do it. You hold yourself to account in a way that means that you actually show up tomorrow rather than just continue wallowing, right? All right, category number 2, food and nutrition. So obviously this is putting in the good stuff. Whole real food is the benchmark for, you know, perfect eating. And then beyond that is snacks and bag, a box or a can kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So basically, me this year, I set a 5 out of 10. So this is pretty low compared to other years. And again, this is tied to the fact that we had a baby. We also, yeah, this is also tied to another one that you'll hear about later on. We had a baby, extremely tired, very poor decision-making skills. And this was our training ground, to be honest, because year one of having our first child and really understanding really what all of my clients have been talking to me about for many years, about the level of selflessness that you show up with in prioritizing other people, which has changed for me. We've got a little joke in our family here that Maddie is number 0, the most essential, but the least important. So that's how I go about life now, is that I am number 0 of the family and the most essential, because I got to make sure that everyone's fed. I got to make sure that there's a roof over our head and that everybody's okay. But the least important, because my priorities come last. But anyway, the tiredness, the stressedness, the caring about everybody else more than myselfness means that we landed at a 5 out of 10, which, to be honest, I think is pretty good. Because like our baseline of health, like our bad week of food is probably most people's good week of food, you know? And I say most, you know, there's going to be some outliers that are way healthier than us and never have sugar and never have any of that kind of stuff. And hey, maybe I'll be like them one day. I don't know if I aspire to quite be like that, but you know what I'm saying, right? As things go, we're pretty good. So 5 out of 10 for us, or for me, I'm speaking for myself here, not everybody else. It's been not a good year food-wise. Now, this is related absolutely to the next one. Number 3, stress management and download. And the reason I use the word download is because I don't really believe in stress less. I mean, I do, but I don't. And what I mean by that is that stressing less is a frame of mind as to how you attach your perspective and your ego to problems and to challenging situations. But the idea that we're never going to be stressed or have some kind of body reaction to stimulus is kind of ridiculous, right? And that's why I always include download. So stress management, part of that is downloading your stress from your body, right? Having practices, whether it be journaling, getting the pen out and writing in the journal, whether it be talking to a friend. And it's really important to clarify when you talk to a friend, are you venting or are you downloading? Because sometimes you just want to keep your problems alive because you're not yet over them, right? So you've got to be really self-aware there and be like, do I need to talk about this more to get it out of my system? Or am I just keeping the problem alive by finding somebody that will validate my position in this problem, right? So stress download is really important. Meditation, breath work, yeah, talking to a friend, talking to a counselor, talking to a psych, being a part of our communities. We've had a few people this year say that part of their self-management, and they often feel better after our calls because they've been able to download and share the information amongst a group of people that get it, you know? But for me this year, this is a 3 out of 10. This was, like I said, this was a training ground for me this year because honestly, having the baby part, I didn't do any of the pushing, obviously, but that was probably the least stressful thing of all of the new stressors that came into my life this year. That was like having a baby is the greatest thing that I've ever done. Like having a son, having a child, that like, and I can't believe I'm saying this, and I know that I used to think that people would say, oh, you've got to say that stuff because imagine saying you don't want your kid. Like, I was as stupid and naive as you are being right now, if that's your thought. Because you just cannot transmute the meaning, the deep meaning, to somebody that doesn't have kids. You just cannot get them to understand. You can intellectually understand, and I used to intellectually understand. Getting off track. But stress management for me has been really poor. I've been utterly exhausted. The only stress management I've wanted is to be unconscious most of the time. and I've not really been good at keeping up my journaling practices. I've been really hit and miss. I've held on as a result of being so tired. I've been holding on to stress and problems much longer than I should have been, even as recently as this week, you know, really struggling to get to sleep. And that's unheard of for me. You know, these are all new problems for Maddie. I'm giving myself a 3, but things are like the response to these shitty numbers is obviously that I've got to change some things, right? So what is your number for stress management? All right. Category number 4, self-care. So I always put hobbies, baths, you know, relaxation, catching up with the boys, you know, mates, friends, getting families together. Maybe that's part of your self-care, but it's really about you looking after yourself, because it's one thing to manage your stress and download it out of the body. It's another thing to then nourish and care for yourself in a way that fills the cup back up, right? In a good way. So I put a number 3 here for me because it didn't go to 0 this year. I've had great support from Yali to make sure I'm still getting out to see people. I become very unpleasant to be around if I don't leave the house and don't have social contact. That's the extrovert in me. And I turn my family into my friends in an unhelpful way, filling their ears full of all sorts of, stuff that they just don't need to hear about or be exposed to when I'm not being social. So it wasn't 0, which I think a lot of people have kids and they just give up their whole life. And we also have taken the approach to being parents that, you know, the little guy comes along with us to our normal life. Sure, that's changed a little bit, but we take him to parties. We take him to friend catch-ups. We, you know, if we've got some plans, we just take him along because we're not really into this gentle parenting idea and like everything. We got to bow down to a newborn baby as the, you know, protect them in every possible way from any kind of stimulus that might be possibly unhelpful. We have a different opinion, which is that a lot of that stimulus is going to shape their capacity to deal with the world and build their resilience and develop their social confidence and their ability to navigate social situations because they're constantly exposed to them from birth, basically. His first outing was 8 weeks. We went to a party at a pub that had about, you know, the pub was full or the venue was full, and we had a particular room that had 30-odd people in it. It was loud. There was music. And some people would call this irresponsible, but we've been doing that kind of thing since 8 weeks. He was 8 weeks old. And you know, Mama Bear could just walk up the stairs. So even though it's a 3, I'm still actually quite happy with how much we got out compared to new parents this year. And also I have a group of mates that I catch up with regularly to co-work with. So that's really helpful. I also run a group, or I put together a group earlier this year that is an AI group. And so this group of small business owners catches up once a month, and we've all become really good mates. So those monthly AI catch-ups, which are all just us trying to stay on top of things in the business world, we basically have become really good friends. And so that served its purpose really well and evolved its purpose actually into being, you know, a group of new mates that I really connect with and share the struggles and the burden of being in small business in 2025s or 2020s, which is really, really financially hard. So that's awesome. Plus, I've got a group that I catch up with in the middle of the night to watch Formula One live. And so all of those things have continued, which is just incredible. And out of that, as you might know, I even started another business in the AI space that helps small business owners increase their profits and sales and stuff like that using AI. And save money on their labor costs. So I don't know if you know that, but now you do. So anyway, I know a lot of that was like my work became self-care in a way, like my work-related activities. But as men, like men in particular, get a lot of personal fulfillment from work and through shared struggle with other men. And so I think that's in there for me. Maybe actually the number's higher. I'm sort of freeze pretty low. Anyway, we'll go with three. Category number five, boundaries. This is something I'm usually pretty good at. I'm unafraid of hard conversations. I'm unafraid of calling people out. They're things I'm very proud of. It doesn't matter whether you're a police officer. I've taken all sorts of high profile, you know, quote unquote, authority status people to court in my life because I'm not here to fuck spiders. So putting boundaries in place with friends or family isn't too challenging for me. So I've given myself a 9 out of 10 for this. Number six, relationships. I've given myself a 9 out of 10 for this. So this is like, how well is your intimate relationship going? How well are your relationship with your kids going? How well is your relationship with parents, with friends? Are there lots of problems? Are there lots of unresolved things that just are unspoken that just sit within you and give you the ick, that make you feel a bit gross, that you need to talk about that you haven't? And are you just on the same wavelength as the people around you right now, which usually gives you that sense of like, oh, belonging and like, these are my people. So I'm lucky enough that, being social, being extroverted, being unafraid to say hard things, it means that the people that are around me are of quite high caliber. And the people that can't handle that stuff, they dissolve. And that's fine. And so I'm not perfect either. Sometimes I get those conversations wrong. And I come in a bit too hard, or I'm a bit attached to my ego or my position too much. I'm a human too. But 9 out of 10 for me for relationships. Plus, who knew that having a baby was the best thing for my actual relationship? Like, not that we're connecting over the fact that now we've got a kid and we've forgotten about the relationship. The relationship itself has strengthened tenfold and just been so profoundly beautiful over this year, which is like, what an evolution. You know, some people have a baby and they kind of abandon the relationship and abandon themselves, and now it's all about the kid. And now, yeah, we're in a situation where the kind of the opposite has happened, which is like, feels like the beginning of something, you know, beautiful and truly lifelong now that we've got kids and hopefully kids plural in the future. That's definitely the plan. So yeah. At home, in my family has shown up in phenomenal ways since the little guy came into the world as well. And I've got a good friend that's a midwife, and she said babies are magic early on, in that that they just heal things. They heal people. They heal family wounds. They heal all sorts of things. And my family and my experience is that babies are magic in this particular case. So relationships, 9 out of 10 for me. Because you're listening here, I can safely assume you're an absolute legend. And so if you want to keep this party going, I'd love to invite you over to follow me on Instagram or YouTube, both under the same name of The Real Weight Loss Coach. Over there, you'll find different content in both places. It's different. So heaps of bite-sized pieces of information. So if you want to learn lots of things really fast with a bit of a scroll, or simply you just prefer some visuals, then scroll over to The Real Weight Loss Coach on Instagram and YouTube. So see you there. Thank you. And let's get back into the episode. All right. This is where some of the story of the previous numbers starts to make sense. So category number 7 is financial. Oh, financial. This has been the hardest year of my life financially. And the reason my fitness was 3 out of 10, and the reason probably that stress management was 3 out of 10, and the reason that self-care was 3 out of 10, and is because this has been the hardest year financially. Obviously, we had a baby, we moved into a family home, and you know, expenses naturally go up in that environment. But combination of three things, and maybe four, I'm happy to put in a fourth, has significantly impacted the way that I generate income for myself and for families. But for our family, not for everybody else's family. ChatGPT, Ozempic, and the significantly difficult inflation. Those three things have meant that this year, the programs that I run and the business that I run has had an 80% drop in revenue. 80%. And because the previous years have gone pretty well, and by pretty well, I'm nowhere near $1 million, by the way. Some people listen to this podcast and listen to the how well it does, and they think like, oh, Maddie must be crushing it and earning millions of dollars. And oh my God, no, not even close. I had a couple of years there where I earned, you know, two or three times what I would have earned working in my scientific job at the hospital, my scientist job as a molecular biologist. But all of that money every year goes back into making the podcast and goes back into making everything work again and spending money on advertising. Spent over $150,000 on advertising, which rendered virtually nothing. not all at once, by the way. That's collectively over years and trying different strategies. And so fortunately, because I did have a couple of years there, sort of 2022 and 23 were really good. There was a bit of money in the bank, and that money is almost run out, totally run out, because it's helped us survive this year. And we've just been moving closer and closer to circling the drain, which is one of the reasons I had to start another business. Because, you know, the truth is, as loud as I am about being anti-Ozempic and anti-weight loss medication, the truth is that people, you know, they only have to part with money. They don't have to put in effort to lose weight. They don't have to put in effort to change. They don't have to put in effort to change their body, to change their lives, to get quote unquote healthy. Although Ozempic healthy is not healthy. I can't compete with that. And this year has been evidence that I can't compete with that. You know, I've got billion-dollar companies that are employing millions of doctors everywhere, telling everybody to get on it. Not, and then you've got influencers, and then you've got the word of mouth. It's like, you're a human. I'm a human. And the idea that we can, you know, feel like we're part of the pack and we get good results and we don't have to try, we're designed to look for shortcuts, you know? And this is part of the reason that I'm about to launch a program that is attempting to compete with Ozempic, because there are supplements and there are stacks of what they call supplement stacks, ways to go about healing your metabolism and losing weight and reducing the food noise in your head. So all of the quote unquote, outcomes that Ozempic promises, but without any of the side effects. So stay tuned for that, because I'm very passionate about helping people avoid pharmaceutical drug use because of the list of side effects. And not just that, but actually maybe something I'm more passionate about is the fact that pharmaceutical drug use inherently comes with the energy and the philosophy of ignoring the root cause and solving the actual problem. And so anyway, point is that Ozempic and ChatGPT, because ChatGPT now means that anybody can pick up their phone and have any question answered ever. Whereas previously, people that were sort of highly educated in a particular field, like myself, you know, you would previously have to pay to access that information. I mean, the catch is now with ChatGPT is that you can't guarantee that the information is relevant, is correct, is accurate, is referenced. And I actually think we're going to see a resurgence of things like lawyers and health professionals, because everyone will be like, my ChatGPT has given me 1,000 answers to the problem and I don't know which one's right for me, you know. But, you know, whether I hope for that or not, AI is getting much, much better. And so, yeah, we've taken a huge hit and this podcast almost ended, and it might. If 2026 doesn't go amazingly, I'll have to take myself off the market, because this business and my staff and this podcast cost a lot of money to run. And there's only so long you can actually do that at a loss. And I've managed to do it for for almost a whole year at a loss. And at some point soon, the CEO hat, I'm going to have to wear the CEO hat and be like, this is a really dumb thing to be doing. You know, so this is the reason that I ask for 5-star reviews and things like that. And to help try and boost this up and get us going. So, but anyway, all of that to say that this has resulted in a 3 out of 10 rating for the finances. So, the reason it's a 3 though, is I've sort of backed myself in starting this new business. And within sort of a couple of months of starting that business, I'm starting to generate, a couple of $1,000, which is really exciting. And I'm looking forward to expanding that in 2026, as well. So, you know, maybe we'll have 2 thriving businesses, but the truth is my heart lies here. I really want to stay here. I really want this to be the thing that provides an abundant life for us. And I dream big for myself and now my family. And I want to be able to provide. I don't want to be living on the breadline, which is what we've done this year. And many times I have just, you know, not quite cried, but sat in utter despair and embarrassment and shame for being a man that can't solve a problem. And I needed to sit in that, because that's helped me get up the next day and try something new and try something different and have a crack at something else. And there's things I need to change there. You know, there's things I need to get better at for sure. But I didn't throw the towel in. And something that helps me stay is the reminder that this is when most people quit. I've seen a lot of friends' podcasts be abandoned. I've seen a lot of health businesses try to be started, and coaches and nutritionists and health practitioners start. And the second it got hard, or it looked like, oh, the tiny amount of numbers, I'm going to take that as a reflection as to what everybody thinks. That's the wrong way to do it. And so this is when most people quit. Most people can't do hard. And so I'm proud of myself for doing hard. And maybe I'll look back and think, what an idiot. I should have just gone all in on the AI business and given up the health business, which was totally sucking our money and meaning that I'm working. I'm literally working from 4 a.m. to some days midnight at the moment. Not every day, because I burn out pretty quickly, but I'm running 2 businesses and I've got a lot to be doing right now to try and keep us afloat. And some people might say, go get a job. Well, interestingly, if you get a scientist wage, you're not doing that well. Most scientists aren't doing that well. And that's one of the reasons that I was so interested in getting into business from working in cancer research as a scientist, because unless you're a manager of managers, you know, you're meant to pay the bills with nobility, apparently. So anyway, I put all of this here to just be human and explain the truth and explain the hardship and the difficulty and what goes on behind the scenes. I'm real. That's the whole point of the rebrand. We rebranded this year to try and lean into embodying the truth and real root causes and real issues and real honesty. And so here I am showing up being that dude. So anyway, final one is pretty catastrophic as well, spiritual. So this is your spiritual practice, whether it be going to church, whether it be meditation and tapping into the universe and the ether, you know, whatever it is. I think most of us, you know, they say that religion in Western countries has diminished, but I would also say that many of the people in the therapy, personal development world lean into spirituality and religion in different forms. And so it's all there. We just use different words for it, you know, universe, ether, energy, universal consciousness, God, you know, it's all there, right? So for me, my spiritual practices, I'm not necessarily a churchgoer, but I definitely have a spirituality within me. I'm going to put it at a 1. And the reason for that is that I've just been so preoccupied in survival mode and absolute and utter exhaustion. I just haven't had the energy to go beyond my physical being into the spiritual realm very often this year. So I've been stuck in like the physical reality of my problems. So which I'm solving, I'm progressively solving. And some people might say if your spirituality was 10 out of 10 right now, you wouldn't have the physical problems. And I'm open to that being true. So spiritual is very low, and it sucks because I see my journal there, or, you know, I go onto YouTube and I might get recommended an old meditation, or, you know, I might scroll past the hypnosis stuff in my phone or the breathwork stuff. And all of that falls into, for me, kind of spiritual, because I go places in my head when I do that. I see it and there's a part of me that's like longing to reconnect with that part. part of me, you know. I really miss it. But being a dad with a failing business and a partner that's 100% dependent on you, spirituality feels like a bit of a luxury at the moment, as does fitness and movement. it's been a hard year. It's been a really hard year. And fortunately, things are in motion to make 2026 better. And I hope that we're able to be here on this podcast, having these conversations. And that's the reason as well, we haven't done any birth updates. We've been meaning to tell our home birth story on a podcast. We've been meaning to talk about our parenting journey on a podcast, but, I've needed to focus on saving the business and starting a new business, and our life just wasn't as comfortable as it was the years before. And maybe that's a lesson for me that I had a couple of good years and took my foot off the gas a little bit rather than, you know, always pretending I'm at zero. That's often a method of motivation for people that build million and billion dollar companies. Like, wake up every day like you're at zero. And I think I've learned my lesson. You have to wake up like that every day when you got a kid, because you do not know what's going to happen today. You might have all sorts of grand plans. But anyway, I want to get back into my spiritual practice. And I think the thing that I want to encourage right now is have a tangible plan about the areas that you want to fix. And so I usually encourage people to go, and I'm encouraging you, so you've just written down these eight categories: fitness and movement, food and nutrition, stress management and download, self-care, boundaries, relationships, financial and spiritual. So I want you to add all of those up and figure out what the total number is. And then the area that we want to focus on from here on out is the two areas that are ideally the lowest or the most accessible to you. So here's my whopping result out of 80. This is by far my worst result over all the years I've done this, and it's 36. It's fucking deplorable, to be honest. That's so bad, so bad. And sure, there's reasons and justifications and excuses that I can employ, but at the end of the day, no matter what excuse exists for my low score, I still suffer the consequences of having a low score, right? It's my body that suffers, my mind that suffers, it's the quality of my life experience that suffers. And not only that, but now, especially with the financial, if I suffer, other people suffer too. And that's new. That is new to me. That's a new thing. So for me, my lowest two are spirituality, and then a bunch of them are all at 3 out of 10. So I would actually say for me, like the fitness and movement, I'm just making notes for myself. My fitness and movement is already on the up. I'm sort of at the gym at the moment, four to five times a week. So that's good. The stress management is probably an area that I want to do better at. And the financial, without a doubt. So stress management and financial are where I'm going to focus most of my energy. I'm not going to ignore the others, because I really want to boost that spiritual practice up a little bit. But financial and stress management feel like one problem to me. So I'm going to work most intently on those. And that was the point of starting another business. So I'm very hopeful that this time next year I can come back and say, financial this year was an 8 out of 10. My new business crushed it, or the health business where we positioned our offer in opposition to Ozempic for people that don't want to take drugs, or for people that have had side effects, that crushed it, you know, so that's where I'm at. So I guess my question to you is, what are the two areas of your assessment, self-assessment for the year? Where are you at? What are the lowest ones? Where are you going to focus that attention? Because that's what you need to fix in order to have a more wholesome year in the coming year. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for being a part of this podcast. Thanks for keeping this podcast alive. Oh my God, if the numbers started to dwindle, I wouldn't have thought twice about ending this, because it would have just been really dumb then. But we still have, you know, every time I drop an episode, we're sort of at about 7,000 or 8,000 listeners, and monthly that still ends us up about, you know, 20,000 to 25,000 listeners. So things are still going fine with the podcast, but the podcast doesn't pay the bills, and advertisers and sponsors and partnerships and affiliate deals really do not even scratch the surface of money that would come in to be able to keep this operation moving forward. And a lot of people suggest that, Maddie, you never really do ads or anything like that. The ads that you hear on Joe Rogan or Huberman or Ben Greenfield or any of those, They work because those guys have millions of listeners per episode. I have in the low thousands, so it's not even comparable. So even though I'm in the top 1%, there's a big difference between me and the big dogs. So anyway, thanks for listening. Like I said, we've got programs beginning soon that are very different to what we've run before because they come along with a supplement stack. So if that resonates with you, then please make an inquiry, check social media, message me on Instagram with the word transform, message me on Facebook with the word transform, or just check your email or check social media posts. You will see lots of content coming out about it. And I'll be releasing content on this podcast about it. So thanks for being here. I hope you take the time to go through these 8 categories, get your total number, be honest with yourself as to what that means, and then pick 2 categories that you are going to very intentionally work on. And by that, I mean, put something in your diary, make a plan, talk to your partner, get them on board. Because if you just think today, these are the areas I'm going to work on, and then in 6 months' time think, shit, I haven't even thought about that since Maddie's podcast, then this is a useless system. There's no point in doing this, right? So actually pick those 2 and put an active plan in place for you to be able to actually change those things in your life. Anyway, thanks so much for being here. I appreciate you, and I'll see you on the next one. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode or learned anything at all, the gift of your 5-star rating would be incredibly helpful. And what's even more powerful is if you write a review. You can do it below each episode on Spotify, every time an episode comes out, and inside Apple Podcast. Simply find the main page of this show with all the episodes on it, scroll to the bottom, hit write a review, share your amazing feedback, and then hit send. It helps this show grow tremendously and allows me to successfully invite bigger and more famous guests each time we do the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you for helping us climb the charts, climb the algorithm, and help more people. Oh, and by the way, I have a short disclaimer as well. I just wanted to quickly remind you that the information provided on this podcast is for general informational purposes only. While we strive to bring you accurate and up-to-date content, it's important to note that a lot of this is mixed with opinions, stories, and ideas not supported by mainstream science or medicine. Any advice or suggestions should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult a healthcare provider before making any decisions about the health and wellness of you and your family. Remember too that what works for one person may not work for another. And just as we promote on the show, each person is responsible for their own health decisions. Thank you for tuning into the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. And now, the next episode. Here it is.